You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Everybody's waiting on that Zootopia sequel. Does Nick and Judy hook up? Do they have kids? Does society accept it? Well, that probably is never going to happen because Disney
is
going to
eat someone on the
toast.
Way.
Yeah, and that's why we got Beastars
Woo-hoo!
On Netflix. And I'm here to talk about that with
Mindy Raskinen. Sorry, I thought you were going to introduce me, and I was just like waiting like a stupid.
Mindy, the idol of OneOfUs.net, the screener squad,
Woo-hoo!
Here to talk about this crazy, wacky, anime is weird kind of show.
Well, it's anime. Is it really weird for anime?
You know, I thought about that. This is actually kind of tame from what I heard.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Other than, you know, it's an adult version of Zootopia.
Exactly.
Set in a high school.
Everything's in a high school in anime, right?
It is. Everything is in a high school.
Yeah, high school for superheroes, wizards, both great anime, by the way, My Little Witch and My Hero Academia.
And
now
Sailor
giant,
Moon.
Yeah, Sailor Moon, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, I think Darien or Mamoru-kun was in college, wasn't he?
I think so, but all the girls were in high school.
Yeah, scandalous.
Mm-hmm.
So could you give us a synopsis? I hate to spring this on you like a wolf on a rabbit, but could you give us a synopsis of the show?
Right. Well, as we said, it's kind of like Zootopia in that this is a world where there are animals as people, and you have the carnivores and the herbivores. And it's based on a manga, so obviously it's the same thing, the manga. And it focuses on this, I guess, prep school, with the main character being Legashi, who is this gray wolf. And it focuses on him as he's kind of this outcast trying to sort of blend into the background until he meets this dwarf rabbit named Haru. And the more he gets to know Haru, the more these feelings that he doesn't really know what they are. Are they just his animal instincts of being a carnivore and being a predator? Are they love? And then on top of that, Haru has her own thing with, you know, she's a dwarf rabbit, she's little, she's essentially a kind of prey. So not only does she have to deal with that, she also has to deal with, she's kind of known as the slut in the school, and she has to deal with all of the, you know, bullying that comes with that. And also on top of that, people are being murdered. Like, it starts off with a sheep being killed by a force, some carnivorous force. You don't see what they are. And so throughout this whole thing, there's also the undercurrent of who killed this guy. And there are other murders that happen too, all while this sort of romance thing is happening between Haru and Legashi, as well as there's another main character of the, there's a deer who's like the most popular guy in school, and it focuses on the drama club that he's the head of. And also the reason that it is called Beastars is because apparently in this school, the Beastar is like the president of the school, something. He's like the one that's chosen, or she, Kibishi, is chosen to be the representative of all the animals, carnivores and herbivores alike. And so it's all these different character arcs of these animal people trying to figure out who they are in this world in regards to them being carnivores or herbivores, and then what happens when you break the taboo. So that's kind of the gist of it, with a bunch of sex and violence too.
Yeah, very well said.
Why, thank you. I thought I was rambling a little bit, so I appreciate that.
No, I always enjoy a good, well-thought-out synopsis of complicated issues. Nothing's right. more complicated, like you said, than falling in love for the first time.
Especially when you were also trying to figure out whether you want to eat someone, which is very clearly an allegory for rape throughout the series.
Yeah. This is what's so fascinating about this anime. At times, I'm thinking, oh, this is an allegory for sexual power, or oh, yes. my, this is an allegory for self-mutilation, or oh, my goodness, is this an allegory for stalking and raping someone?
Mm-hmm.
And then they say literal animal terms, so I'm confused, like, oh,
right.
wait, oh, no,
there
it's,
is
it's
a
just
mixture.
How a wolf
yeah.
talks.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that it's sort of... with that allegory thing that makes you kind of wonder how you're supposed to feel about Legashi, because right. the way that he meets Haru is that he attacks her in the night. As
not an allegory, literally.
Not an allegory.
Attacks
he literally
her.
Attacks yeah. her because he's overwhelmed by his animalistic instincts as a carnivore, a wolf versus a rat. I mean, rabbit, excuse
little
me.
Little rabbit, yeah.
Yeah, little bunny rabbit. But then later on, where Haru is captured by a gang of lions who want to eat her, it is very clearly about, we're going to rape you. And there, it's like, yeah, she's going to be quote-unquote eaten, but the way that they do things to her, like they lift up her skirt, they have her undressed. It's like, this is very clearly sex. So
oh,
it's
yeah.
like
they set like a brine bath and tenderize yeah. the meat, etc.
Right. So it's like, if the first time they meet, Legoshi is trying to fight the urge to rape her, is he really a good guy? You know? But if it's that he's a wolf and he's fighting his animal instincts, that makes it not so evil, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to know how to see him based on the fact that these are animals and they're using allegory in regards to what people think, you know, what people do in relationships and in interactions, and what animals do in relationships and interactions. So it changes the way you look at him throughout it when you forget, you know, based on which view you're looking at, essentially.
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Zootopia had the same problems, not to
yeah.
this extent.
Right.
You know, Zootopia would say something clever like, oh, well, I'll just carry fox spray just in case. It's like, damn, you realize that's kind of specious, I'll just say, Judy, don't you know? But then it would say something deliberately totally off the mark and written by someone who probably has never even seen racism in real mm-hmm. life. And the anime kind of suffers the same problem, but with the topic of, as you so... like when they put it, a sexual assault.
Yeah.
And, well, Legoshi, this guy, let me tell you, they actually call out his character, and I loved it. I think he's a great character, but little Haru in one scene is like, look, dude, are you a thick-skinned tough guy, or are you a sensitive poet? You can't be both. And he kind of is, and it's pretty
yeah.
funny.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, he has the, you know, when he's overwhelmed by his animal instinct, he is a very badass fighter wolf person. But he's also the head of the art department, and
yeah.
he does lighting for the school plays, and... he has a pet scarab beetle that he takes care of. And, you know, he's one of the few carnivores that actually goes to the memorial for the first dead,
I think it was an alpaca. Yeah.
Oh, it was an alpaca. Okay. Yeah. And gives a love letter to the person that alpaca wanted to be his girlfriend, you know, and he is a mixture of, And that's his arc, is fighting between those two sides of himself, certainly, and trying to find a balance between the two.
Yeah, and that's actually one of my favorite scenes. This little sheep is wandering around campus like, oh, I can't believe someone was murdered. And Lugosi, he comes across as a creeper far away.
Oh, he totally comes across as a creeper. She's scared. She runs away and is like, "You stay away from me." And he's like, "I have a letter."
Yeah, Tim wanted me to. How did he sound? Tim wanted me to give this to you. You know, that deep, brooding voice. And she's all, oh. And like, then she felt like a little guilty for being terrified.
Oh, she felt so bad. Like the next day, she's like, yeah, I want you to know I'm going to tell people you're not a dick. I mean, she didn't use those words. But yeah. It's like, I'm sorry. I've been passing that rumor around and I'm going to stop that.
Yeah. Out of all the allegories or even literal sayings, interpretations of this anime, I think it captures best just how awkward and lame it was to be a teenager in high school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, like, one of my favorite scenes was Haru is going up against her bullies because there's a Harlequin bunny that her boyfriend cheated on her with Haru.
Yeah.
And so she and her, you know, mean girls have been, you know, getting on Haru's case. And she just turns around and is like, the fact that he cheated on you is, you know, that's him, and you had problems in your relationship for that to happen. So if you guys go extinct, because she's talking about she's angry because Harlequin bunnies are endangered. So it's like, if they break up, your fault that the species isn't going to exist, which is another, like, you know, one of the things I did like about the show is the fact that there's like, yes, they're people, but they're also animals. So they do allude to it on many occasions. But yeah, Haru's like, yeah, so if you go extinct, it's your damn fault, and just piles into her about, it's like, it is not my fault your boyfriend cheated on you. I just happened to be the one he went to. And it's like, damn, you go, little dwarf.
Standing up for herself.
Standing up.
Well, her boyfriend was a dick. I mean, she was a horrible, like you said, mean girl, but he was, the little bits we see of him... He's just a horny rabbit bastard.
Oh, absolutely. And that was actually something, because it focuses on Lugosi, but it's like, after I watched the season, I started thinking about Haru's storyline and how it's like, when you, as a woman, you know, how realized how true that storyline is. Because it's like,
absolutely.
Yeah, because like, and particularly in regards to sex, because sex is such a damn minefield for women. And, you know, we're supposed to enjoy it but not enjoy it. We're supposed to have it but not have it. We are both, you know, desirable and sluts. It can be used to express love and violence. So it's like with Haru, it has her backstory of, like, she's this little dwarf rabbit. And... you know, she started sleeping with guys because it was the only time that she felt like some sense of equality and worth, but at the same time being degraded for it. And I just realized, like, damn, that is so fucking true. And then when you find the guy that actually loves you outside of that, it's like, I will love you if sex is in the picture or not. You don't know what to do with that. Like, I've been married 8.5 years, I still don't know how to handle that sometimes.
Well, it's one of those paradigm, or what's the word I'm thinking of? It starts with a P, puzzle.
Paradox?
Yeah. It's like a paradox, the love paradox.
Yeah, it's like, how is this genuine? It's like, you know, I had a role, this was my role, and now you're saying I don't need to be in that role anymore to have worth. Well, then what am I supposed to do? And I realized after, you know, because there's this great moment where, you know, Lugosi tells her how he feels, and she goes to hold his hand, but then doesn't. So it's like she takes that in, but at the same time is still wary of it. And I just realized, like, you know, after thinking about it, it's like, yeah, that is really, really true.
Oh, yeah. Seeing the hands, the way they're animated. And I have a huge love of hands in films because I think the most intimate thing about a person is their hands, touching hands. Specifically, so I think Joe Wright, if you're out there and you want to adapt an anime into a live-action film, go nuts with this.
Well, one of the things that in this, in particular, in regards to the animation, was like how interesting. Because, you know, anime has a very distinct style. It's, you know, it's drawn certain ways. You know, you have a very clear feel that, oh, this is an anime. Which, honestly, can get boring after a while because it's kind of the same, you know, figures and things. But, like, one of the things I found really, really interesting was the way that they did thought. Because anime, one of the things a lot of anime has is mind voiceover. Because it's kind of, you know, manga yes, it is a comic book, so this is the thought bubble. But in this one, it would have, like, a silhouette of his head as his body is doing something different. Or it would have, you know, Maru, it would pan across the outside of a school as Haru is going from person to person to sit next to. And you know, the way that it showed smells and being overcome with the call of the wild or whatever it is, yeah. You know, it was a very different way of expressing it. It felt very comic booky and artistic in a very good way that kept the animation style fresh and interesting. Oh yeah, there's another where it's like they're eating dinner together and they have this like purple void in between the two because it's like they're close but they're actually emotionally not. And it's just the way they expressed emotion and thought in an artistic visual way I thought was really, really interesting.
Yeah, it was snappy and it kept things fresh.
It did.
You know, back in the 90s, other than animes like Cowboy Bebop or Evangelion, the thought would just be screen motion across the character's face very slowly while the dialogue was read over a still photo of the character. And it's great that we've come so far. And yeah, computer animation in this, I didn't even know it was animated that way. I had to look it up.
Oh, it's and computer animated?
Yeah. They used a lot of computer animated. It looks very animation drawn to look like drawings. It's my understanding. K-On! The Answer did that about 2 years ago, and it was a bit uncanny valley. Looked a little choppy. But now, I think it's a brilliant way of animation if we keep getting results like this.
I had no idea. I mean, there were certainly elements that were definitely computer, but I definitely thought it was hand-drawn classic anime.
Yeah. Oh, that's hey, cool. Comment section of this review. Let me know if I'm full of shit.
And then, although the one thing, and I loved it, but the one thing that I was like, why did you do it that way, was the intro. I always, you know, they have the option to skip the intro, and as many times as possible, I wouldn't, because it's claymation. It's like...
We're talking the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, she thinks I'm cute, and
so like Fantastic
animation.
Mr. Fox claymation.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and it's like, this is awesome. Why is this the opening? It's nothing else is in this style. And yet...
I gotta binge this. You know, I have to binge and review this. I watch this every time, but I pretty much did.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's so fascinating, but it's so out of place at the same time.
It's a kicking jazzy song, too, but nobody does jazz except... Well... possibly Juno the Gray Wolf later has a bit of jazz to her. But.
She does. She has her little dance. Yes,
she was a great character.
Female antagonist.
Absolutely. What did you think about her? I don't want to say innocence, because she was very much in charge of a room that she walked in. Whether she played the I'm the underclassman. Can someone help me? Or the attitude of, and pardon my French, what'd you just say to me, bitch?
Yeah, you know, it's like, this is my man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that moment where she pinned down Louis and was like, let's get this straight, bitch. yeah. I am going to be the B-star and you can suck it.
Yeah, you're in my way and soon you won't be. That was so good.
I think that she's one that needs to be explored later on. And I think with the kind of, you know, as the relationship with Legashi and Haru is more solidified, that they have more focus, they have more time to focus on Juno and also on Louis, because we have no idea what really happens to him. And he has this very juicy backstory as well that they barely...
Pun intended.
Right. I suppose there is the sex part, but like the the number four.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I was trying to make a tender meat joke.
Oh, God.
I guess that could be an idiom for the other thing, too. I'm just going to stop talking.
Remember, there's lots of symbolism and allegory. But it's like you have both of these two characters that you can see with Juno, there's a lot more to her than the innocent facade that she puts on, but they don't really go into it as a result of them focusing on Legashi and Haru. And then with Louis, where he has now broken free of his box that he's been put in, so it's like, oh damn, what are you gonna do now? Because he was fascinating too. He was kind of the preppy dick, but he was never for me a nasty character that I didn't want to succeed. Mean girl type, those types of characters, you just hate them. And I did not hate Louis, even though he was kind of set up to be hateable. So that takes skill to have a character that is kind of self-absorbed and kind of uppity and I'm number one to also be sympathetic. So it's like, kudos to that. But it's like, I think those two are probably going to be the focus of the next season because there's so much stuff that has not been said. And then on top of that, you still have that evil creature that nobody knows who it is, who's killing people, who apparently knows Legashi. The ending is ambiguous.
Or is it?
We just know it involves
really
kills.
Ambiguous ending, yeah.
That's another way of it being the first person in at the end too. Not a lot of it is in first person, but that part is, and it's just like, wait, okay, we got that. What does that mean? Is that the villain? Is that the guy that's eating people? Is that some other plot entirely?
Some guy asking where the art department is.
Right, where's the art department? Why are you making a dinosaur? No. Well, we know why, the meteor festival. But
do you think the dinosaurs they were making in their history books could like walk around and talk and wear suits as well?
Oh, I'm sure they did. It would be silly if they didn't. If chickens exist and sell their eggs to the canteen, that was weird. That's, again, it goes through the being a person and also being an animal. Selling your own eggs for the egg salad sandwiches at lunch and being like all excited that, you know, your biology classmate really likes the egg salad sandwiches. And it's just like, that's creepy.
It's very creepy. That's one of the animes are really weird.
That's the takeaway. They're weird.
Weirdest thing for me was we see two little hamsters, or they could have been gerbils, in suits, walk into class. I'm like, holy shit. Does one turn to the other and be like, where are you headed? Math department. My class starts next week. Because that would take forever to get down that hallway.
And one of them almost got stepped on.
Yeah, it was a little scary. Would he get a vigil? There'd be a whole mystery around him as well.
No, he'd probably just get thrown in the trash.
Just thrown in the trash. That's where you belong when you're not a carnivore or but a rodent. Yeah. Why don't we jump into final thoughts? You'd like to go first, or I could, whichever.
Either way, I've been talking a lot, so I'll let you go ahead.
Well, I actually really enjoyed this. I watched half of it in English, half of it in its Japanese language, and I think they're both great. The intensity of Legoshi and also the kindness of Legoshi was done incredibly well by both leads. I believe it was kind of a newcomer, Jonah Scott, and of course a complete veteran in the Japanese language, Chikihiro Kobayashi. Haru, voiced by Laura Jill Miller. If you recognize her voice, she was like Lammy Lamb from Doc McStuffins. She's a total pro as Haru. A little jarring since I last heard her while watching, you know, a playful doctor heal a stuffed animal with my daughters. So, but she nails it. And Haru, of course, the Japanese veteran, Sayaka Senbongji. I really enjoyed Haru's story as well. She might be my favorite character because of, like you brought up before, the being prey. I've heard so many stand-up comedians, like Ali Wong has a really good set about constantly having to be aware that you could be raped at any minute. And that's horrifying, but she's one of my favorite comedians, and I took her words to heart. And for Haru to use this fear and actually not only have power over people, but to, it's not that. She's actually just trying to be level with them and being a herbivore with another herbivore. No pity. No, oh, a dwarf rabbit, she must be protected. Just be on the same grounds with people. And it's so sad since, as you said, sex is like a minefield. Like, I'm terrified to ask my wife sometimes, like, do you see me as, like, a father, like, 24-7? Like, do you still see me as a man? Like, a sexy man? I'm pretty sure she'd say yes, but that's an awkward conversation to have. And for these teenagers, oh, the awkward teenagerness of it all.
Yes.
It's so good. And Haru, you really have nothing to say to her about how she's living, but you definitely want all of these guys, including Rii, to find happiness. Because at the end of the day, I think anybody who's interested in a story about incredibly lonely people discovering themselves and each other, this is definitely a must watch. If furry stuff kind of creeps you out, don't worry, it's really not that explicit at all. I mean, there's a very well artistic implication. And if that creeps you out, I guess I can't recommend this to you. But this is probably the best anime I've seen of the year so far, at least new anime is released. I know it's only March, got a long way to go, but this is at the top of my list for best anime so far. I'm going to give this 8 little jars of rabbit's blood out of 10 black market meat sellers.
I also really, really enjoyed it. I watched it completely dubbed, and one thing we didn't say was one of the points against it was the subtitles don't match. To the point where sometimes the subtitles say the exact opposite of what the dubbing says. So that can be jarring, and that was like, why is it such a different translation? But otherwise, it is a very solid anime. I would say, honestly, the intended audience, because I was thinking about it, because my husband was like, I really do not like teen melodrama. Mm-hmm. And so after a while, it got jarring to watch you watch episode after episode after episode. So I was like, I honestly think that like the intended audience is teenage girls and women. Although obviously men can enjoy it too, because there is a very high level of romance, really high level of romantic fantasy, but also a fair amount of action and character development and a lot of interesting psychological questions that each of the characters has to deal with that makes it juicy and engaging and interesting. And on top of that, the animation is really, really good. And, you know, that intro at the beginning is fascinating. And like I said, on top of that, I love the fact that, yes, these were people who are animals, but they didn't negate the fact that they were animals as well. And that is the central point of the show. So, yeah, with you, I'm looking forward to the next season. I'm really enjoying where these relationships end up and what happened to Louis. So I am going to say 9 curtain calls that you weren't able to make because you broke your leg during the show out of 10.
Nice. Is there an animal you want to see in season 2?
Well,
kinda I want to see a dolphin. How that would work.
I'm curious if there are any. I saw one lizard, but like, are there any amphibians? I don't think I've seen an amphibian. Yeah. And more
around.
Plays. That place was awesome. I want with death as the, you know, evil, the fighting against fate. whatever Louis did, I thought that show was cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed the show very much. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll probably make a spinoff of that and have it just be its own
just
anime.
Be the play within the play.
Yeah.